Well, hey, what's going on? Happy Monday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a bit, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. But first, let's recap the Reds game from Sunday afternoon. It was the rubber game of the Reds' three-game series against the Rangers. Andrew Abbott for the Reds up against Dane Dunning of the Rangers. In the bottom of the first, Andrew Abbott got the first two batters out, but then Nathaniel Lowe hit a weak single to right field, and Adolis Garcia would make Abbott pay for that. He crushed a line drive home run out to left field, making it quickly 2-0 Rangers. Abbott would then give up a single to Jonah Heim, and then Wyatt Langford hit a ball into the gap between center fielder Stuart Fairchild and right fielder Jake Fraley. The ball hit the part of the wall that kind of turns in. It went past Fraley and ended up being an inside the park home run. Ironically, it was the first major league home run for the Rangers' top prospect, Wyatt Langford, who has immense power, but quickly 4-0 Rangers. Abbott did really lock in after that. He would retire 11 straight batters, but the Reds' offense was absolutely dominated by Rangers' starting pitcher, Dane Dunning. He'd end up striking out 10 Reds. They did finally get a rally started in the sixth. Luke Maley smoked a double. Will Benson singled him home. That chased Dunning from the game. Ellie De La Cruz then singled, putting runners on the corners. Ellie De La Cruz stole second base. And then Spencer Steer hit a tough ground ball to the Rangers shortstop Corey Seager. Seager's throw was just slightly offline. Ellie came around from second, and it was a 4-3 ball game. Abbott would be lifted in the sixth, his final pitching line, 5 1/3, 6 hits, 4 runs, no walks, and 7 strikeouts. Lucas Sims would retire 2 batters. Emilio Pagan pitched to score the 7th, and Justin Wilson threw a perfect 8th, striking out the side, and that kept the game 4-3 going into the top of the 9th. And in the top of the 9th, Jonathan India singled with 1 out. Bubba Thompson came in to pinch run for him. He attempted to steal second base. He was called out on the field, but after a lengthy review, they overturned and they actually got the call correct. Thompson was safe. Nick Martini then walked, but then Jamer Candelario struck out for a 4th time on Sunday, a big topic of conversation on our show coming up. Luke Maley then came to the plate as the Reds' last hope. Maley smoked a ball, 102 off the bat, but unfortunately it was right at Rangers third baseman Josh Smith to end the game. Reds fall 4-3. Reds lose the series to the Rangers despite holding the defending World Series champions to just 8 runs over 3 games. Reds now 15-13 on the season. After the game, here's what Andrew Abbott had to say.
No, it doesn't work that way, but outside of one inning today?
Yeah, I mean, just missed execution on 2 pitches, really 2 good swings by them. That ended up being the difference. You kind of have to flip the script on that and just say, hey, I got to go as long as I can after an inning like that. And just try to hold them and give us a chance to win. And we didn't win, but, you know, save the bullpen, save arms for the upcoming rest of the road trip. So just trying to do what I can.
What did you do after that inning? It seemed like you were pitching backwards at times.
Yeah, pitching backwards, trying to rely more on execution location-wise, at least with most of my pitches. And really just trying to get ahead and stay ahead. You know, just falling up behind a few times, you know, maybe getting a little bit predictable and stuff. And that's never a good thing against these caliber hitters.
On the one home run ball, I think it was an 0-2 count. I think you went with a slider, kind of down and in, curveball. Yeah. Did you not get it where you wanted?
Yeah, no. We were trying to go down. Just yanked it, kept it up. Adolis put a really good swing on it. Is what it is at the end of the day. Not where I wanted to go with it. And like I said, he's a great hitter. He's going to hit mistakes. So, you know, you try to limit them as much as you can, but they're going to happen every now and then.
This happens to a starter every now and then where they have the first inning is what decides the game and they pitch well. When you look back on a game like this, how do you dwell? You know, it's hard not to dwell on the fact that 4 runs and a loss, or do you just think about you know, you look back on it and say, well, hey, I pitched great the rest of the game?
There's a lot of positives that you can focus on in the game. You know, I held them for the rest of the time, saved the bullpen a few innings. But, you know, looking back at it, you're obviously going to look at what you can improve on. So you're going to look at the first inning and so on and so forth and just see what you can do differently. See, you know, sequencing if anything's wrong, you know, see if anything like that first, and then after you take a day or two, you kind of just turn the page. You're like, okay, well, you know, as you said, it's not going to happen all the time, but you know, when it does happen, you got to be prepared in order to get through it and keep going.
Month into the season, are you happy with where you are right now?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's a learning curve, so obviously, you know, taking what's already happened and then moving forward and hoping that it doesn't happen again and working toward making things, you know, better each time out. That's obviously what every starter, including myself, want to do. So just we'll go back, watch the film with DJ, and then, you know, just continue trucking.
And here's Reds manager David Bell.
Those can snowball out of control. Pretty good job of your club hanging in there. Obviously had the time run the scoring position.
Yeah, I mean, Abby did just a great job. We talk about you know, sometimes those starts are the most important to our team. Get off to a tough start and to be able to, you know, I think he retired 11 straight after that. Just to be able to keep it together, keep us right there. We're going to win a lot of those games. And so that was really the key. It gave us an opportunity today to come back and win. And, you know, we continue to play like that. Really good things are going to happen.
You had a situation tonight where I would presume that CES or Stevenson might hit in that situation. Were they just unavailable?
I don't even... Yeah, you might be right. They were not available today, so I didn't even consider what we would have done if that was the case. But... And we definitely put our best foot forward there, and guys had great at bats, you know, right to the very end with Luke hitting the ball hard. So, like I said, you know, we lost a lot of good things to focus on. We continue to play like that, and, you know, we're going to be in really, really good shape.
Do you have any kind of update on CES? Or I know you was a little empty.
Yeah, we'll know more tomorrow. Still, you know, like I said, we believe that based on the x-ray yesterday that there's no fracture. So it's just going to be a matter of, you know, a day or two or a few days till, you know, they took pretty good blows to the hand there with fastballs. So just a matter of getting the soreness out of there.
Is it tough? Are you going to get an MRI with the injury?
I'm not sure. Yeah, it's just... You know, the medical stuff is, you know, it's being handled, and we'll put those guys back on the field as soon as we can get them back. We want them back. I mean, we don't like to be short, and, you know, we want them in the lineup. So, yeah.
You didn't know where that original fracture came from, that old one?
I didn't even know that. I knew he had an old one, but I didn't ask him about where he got it or when, or if he didn't remember it. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know that either.
So whenever he got it, wherever he got it, apparently just kept playing.
Yeah. So I think it, no matter what, it's in a good spot. So hopefully he'll be back quick.
All right, our deep drive of the day was Luke Maley's leadoff double at 106 off the bat, traveling 372 feet. That started the Reds rally in the sixth. And our deep drive of the day, sponsored as always by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks as always to our friends at DSC. All right, checking out scores around the NL Central. The Brewers, hey, they lost again, and they lost big, 15-5 to the Yankees. The Brewers were outscored 36-15 in their series loss. They still won a game, though, despite being outscored by 21 runs. The Giants, they beat the Pirates 3-2. Mets beat the Cardinals 4-2. And the Cubs, they lost 5-4 to the Red Sox. Cubs, they made a big rally late on Sunday Night Baseball. But unfortunately for the Cubbies, they were walked off in the ninth at Fenway. All right, so your NL Central standings on Monday morning. Brewers are 17-10, Cubs 17-11, Reds 15-13, 2.5 back, Pirates 14-15, the Cardinals are 13-15. Reds, they do have a half-game lead over the Mets for the final NL wildcard spot. All right. Well, here's myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. Stick around at the end. I'll tell you about all the Reds minor league action from Sunday and also give you a preview of the Reds' next series against the San Diego Padres.
All right, welcome into a Sunday night. I like Sunday nights. I'll tell you why I like Sunday nights is because if you have a performance like today and you watch the game in real time, there's a good chance you say some things you regret immediately after the game. I've had some time to kind of wrestle over those thoughts, so I'm gonna temper my frustrations here tonight. At least I hope to. As the Reds, they drop, they lose a series to the Rangers, 2-1. But as I said, Nick, before we started this series, I know people hate me for it, but I'll just take one. And I wanted this one today, Bat. That's the thing that's funny about people, Nick. Let me be very clear. I know you know this. I hope they win every game. I'm not rooting for them to lose. I'm trying to temper my realistic expectations sometimes. I wanted one game, I got it, but I was trying to be greedy, and I wanted another one today. It just didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. This was, if you go into the series, this was the one starting pitcher that looked the most vulnerable on the Texas side, and he pitched outstanding today. What I will say is, you know, the Reds fell behind 4-0, and I'd be honest, I kind of went, well, this is just going to get away from the Reds. It was good to see them, you know, fight all the way to the end, have the tying run on second base in the ninth inning. You know, there. I guess there's something to be said about, you know, that this team, even on a day where it's just like, all right, it's not going to be the Reds' day. They somehow managed to stay in the game the entire way. Pitching didn't give up a run the rest of the way. So there's, I guess, at least... That's a positive for the old Red Lakes.
Yeah, you're trying to do your best Nick Kirby impersonation right now by giving its best spin zone possible, and that is perfectly fine. I'm sure Toxic Trace, as many will claim me to be tonight, at some point I'm just speaking what I believe. I'm not trying to be rude by any stretch of the imagination to this ball club right now. I just don't know how good they are. Offensively, for sure. That's the part that it's one thing to lose, right? Like there's fun styles or there's fun brands in sports, right? Like if you're going to watch a team and they're going to lose in basketball a lot, if they score 125 points a game in the NBA or something like that, you're like, all right, well, maybe they can clean the defense up, but they're still kind of fun to watch. There's nothing more, like I said before, there's nothing worse than having to be a Virginia basketball fan if they don't win. And my point is, like, it's just painful to watch. This is so brutal to watch. If they win, it makes it feel a little bit better. But we can all agree, like, it's disgusting no matter what. Like, this offense is just so bad. I mean, they struck out 15 times, right? Like, I went before the show started, and I was like, let me double-check that. That's right. Correct, Nick? Like, my computer screen's correct.
Yes, that is correct.
15 times. What was the starter's name today?
Dane Dunning.
I mean, no disrespect. Maybe Dane Dunning will be in the Hall of Fame, but I'm just trying to say, you know, no disrespect to Dane Dunning's family, but Dane Dunning did it tonight. I don't know. I mean, I just, it pissed me off, man. Watching this team just pisses me off right now, and I'm going to try my best not to go over the deep end tonight. We got people on this team that suck. Simple as that.
Just feels like every time they get someone back healthy, then there's two more guys, like, CES and Tyler Stevenson are out. It's like every time someone comes back, there's someone else on the other way out, and it's just kind of been that kind of season. And you know, in some ways, it's very fortunate to be 15-13 right now. On the other hand, you've wasted a lot of good pitching as well, so there's maybe a little bit of both with that. But yeah,
I tell you what, I know I'm trying to do this on the fly here. Sometimes when you do things on the fly, it doesn't work out for you. But I feel confident enough in my abilities here to do this for the chat. And the real concern I have at this moment is, you know, the embarrassing. This is embarrassing if you're Candelario. I'm going to pull it up. I'll tell you what. You do your best. Can you rally the troops on this guy? Or are you down in the dumps too? Where are you at on this man?
I don't. What else is there to say about him? I mean... The only comp that I can think of is if he kind of feels like Eugenio Suarez back in 2021, where he just looked completely lost at the plate, and he just kept
you tip say, yeah, I'll figure it out. He never figured out. He ended up figuring out in like September and then had to end up having a great 2022 after the Reds traded him. But that's, you know, the only guy that I can think of that at least in Reds memory that, you know, had a pretty decent track record that was kind of in the spot where there's nothing you could do about it. Like, I guess you can give him like an off day, but I get, you know what, I'm going to say this to, I guess, I don't know, rally the truth. Look, it stinks that Jamer Candelario stinks and has been playing terrible, but I tell you what, take steroids, because if you take steroids, you're going to get some backlash for about a week, and then if the other guys that actually show up to the field and don't do steroids, they're going to get all the wrath of it if they struggle. So, like, take steroids, kids. I don't understand, like, Noivy Marte, and I'm not, like, a huge, like, I don't want to kill Noivy Marte forever, but Noivy Marte just, he got a week, and he got off scot-free. Oh, man, I can't wait for him to come back in June. We're excited for that. Jamer Candelario, man, this guy stinks. He sucks. You know, it's kind of like, I kind of feel like a lot of our frustration should maybe be at Marte, because if Marte was here, it's a totally different conversation. You could bench Jamer Candelario. You could bench him. You can't really bench him because Marte did steroids.
Well, if you got a guy, Nick, I'll tell you this right now. This poor bastard could use him. Jamer Candelario, folks, if you're looking at the screen right now, I apologize if this makes it to the podcast because it's not going to be riveting content. But when I say that you couldn't get any bluer than this, I mean it. I mean, this thing is as blue as the ice cold drink you pull right out that has the Rockies on it. So blue, it's a kid's show, so I won't go there. But you know what I'm thinking. There's more blue balls on that thing than there's blue balls in other places. I can tell you that. Look at all them blue balls on there. Maybe that's Jamier's problem. Maybe you should think about figuring that part out first. I don't know what his problem is. I know this. He has piss poor at bat after piss poor at bat after piss poor at bat. There's only so much you could possibly say about one guy until you just eventually say that he sucks. And he sucks and he's got to get better. There's no other way to say it. You can't sugarcoat this anything. Pun intended. Like Candelario, you can't sugarcoat the fact that he's been horrible. And I do understand what you're saying, Nick, about Marte. He's got off the hook scot-free a little bit in regards to people not being upset at he's maybe the reason as to why we have to put up with this every single night. However, the dude got paid $20 million. I mean, it's It's April 28th. I'm trying my best. This is where maybe the hour, two, three, 4 hours I had to sit back and relax and wait for the show are going to kick in. But you can't be this bad, Nick. Like, you want to look at this again? I mean, it is unbelievably bad. And you know, like, God's honest truth, don't even really have. I don't know. I don't have. I don't know what else there is to add, Nick. I had you muted for a second. You got anything to add here while it's up for the people?
No. I mean, what else is there to say? He's been terrible. Like, what do you say? I mean, there's been other guys this has happened to, a guy that has no business being in Major League Baseball, and Marcell Ozuna. I won't get into my thoughts on him, but he was absolutely just atrocious for a long stretch and then somehow figured it out, and now he's been one of the best hitters in baseball. But yeah, it's been terrible, but there's nothing the Reds can really do. I mean, I guess if you're David Bell, you probably do like the same type thing you did with A.U. Hinnis Suarez, because feels like deja vu that you were in the same spot with A.U. Hinnis Suarez where you didn't really have anyone else. I know the fan base called for Alejo Lopez to play over him, but yeah, that doesn't do anything. Like, it's the same spot. So, I mean, I guess you could, you know, all right, well, we're going to have him play two out of every three games and, you know, try to see if that can, you're just doing whatever until you get there. Unless you can convince the guy to do a phantom IL. I mean, that's really your only other option, I guess, at this point. But that's something that seems like Major League Baseball's taking even more seriously. There was the whole thing with the Mets where they got in trouble for that. So it's a situation that there's no answers to. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. I'm at a loss for words because I don't know how to fix the problem. Like, I don't think that there's a fixable solution here. Like, you just, but I will say this, at some point you can't run him out there every day. Like, if it continues to go down this path and we're still, let's just say 2 more weeks go by and we're still this abysmal and there's no progression. And let me say this, it's not hard to progress right now. The expectation has been set so low that if you have any signs of life at all, then I think that we're willing to come around on this. Like, okay, all right, he hit a ball hard tonight. Let's build off of that. Okay, he found a way to get a hit tonight. Let's build off of that. But if you continue to go down this path or you're this bad for this long, Nick, I know what you're saying. Like, oh, what are you supposed to do? You got to do something. And I you know,
I guess reset
the boundaries. I Phantom IL is the only thing I can think of. God's honest truth.
I mean, my guess though is there a better option though? That's the other. I mean, do you really think that, you know, running Santiago Espinal, a guy that everyone wanted shipped to China 2 weeks ago, yeah, out there every day, is going to really be a better option than hoping and praying that he figures it out? I know hoping and praying is not something we want to do, but like, what's your other alternatives here?
Let me say this. I don't think it's as much of saying, okay, it's as much as the next guy is going to be better than Candy. I think it's as much as trying to give Candy some semblance of like an ability to take a breath or something psychologically with him. I don't think there's nobody in this organization right now that I'm going to point to and say over the next, you know, whatever, 100 games, they're going to be better than Candelario. That doesn't exist. I think most reasonable fans would say, yeah, that doesn't exist. We can all agree that Candelario is the best option moving forward right now. But having said that, I think there are times where you need to reset. And I'm not suggesting like for a single second that Will Benson and Jamer Candelario are the same player, because they're not. Candelario's had a much, much longer track record in the big leagues. That's why he signed and he got paid $20 million. However, I don't know. It's just there's something psychological. That's the only thing this could possibly be. You don't get beat by a 94-mile-an-hour fastball, middle, Nick, as a big-league hitter, and especially as a big-league hitter as successful as he's been, unless you're just up there in la-la land. Like, you are just so mentally taxed while you're up there, stressed out of your mind, because you know you're struggling. You know the spot. Candelario knew when he walked up to the plate that if he got a hit right there, it would almost exercise not all the demons, but almost all of those demons. And he looked lost. He looked, I don't want to say afraid, because that'd be a little too disrespectful, but he just looked as if he wasn't ready for the moment. And I don't know what he's got to do to get ready for the moment, but at this point, someone's got to sit him down and just say, look, man, it can't get a whole lot worse. So if you're worried about what's going on or what's happened, it can't get worse. So just start playing and see what happens. But the worst thing that could be happening is if he thinks he feels great, and he does feel great. Because if that's the case, then I don't know if Father Time just grabbed a hold of him and ripped him down that fat. It's impossible. Maybe so. I don't know. Not going to go off the deep end. But I will say, we all can agree, every Reds fan knows, Candelario has not been great. So we can get that off the list. Check that box. We're done with it. Somebody that needs a Jonathan India-type weekend is Candelario. So let's jump into India now. India, obviously a guy who also, statistically speaking, did not look all that great. But he bounced back this weekend and had, you know, honestly, the other night outside of Hunter Green was the MVP of the game. So finds a way today to have some big at-bats. And I don't know, your overall thoughts on India, if any?
I mean, he had a great series. You know, just kind of echoing yesterday, just really impressive that didn't play for like almost a week and just jumped right back in. And yeah, his at bats look good. He looks comfortable, and he just becomes a guy that's gonna have to be leaned on more and more. It just feels like so many of these guys that we thought were, you know, ninth and tenth on the pecking order are now our top dogs, and India right now is one of our top dogs right now that you need to hit. It's wild that we're here at this point, but I'm just thankful for the weekend that Jonathan India put together, and hopefully he can really take off and just get really hot and stay hot, you know, for I don't know, maybe a month or however long he can. Just because there's just There's just no depth right now at all to this lineup.
No, there's not. And there's no depth coming either. Like, that's the part that's... There's nobody on the bats right now that I would be like, oh, man, from an infield perspective, let's just try it out. Like, this isn't last year, you know? That's maybe the damning part. The only person that you could argue that would have maybe even, and it's crazy to think, the only person I could think of that if they got off to a red hot start would have been Arroyo, where they might have been like, you know what? I mean, yeah. It probably doesn't make sense to bring him up this early, but we'll just give it hell because we need some help. Maybe he would have gotten an opportunity, but again, not guaranteed. You never know. I mean, listen, Jackson Holliday, obviously, he got called up. Everybody was super excited about that, and he got one hit and 20 at-bats, so or whatever it was, and he got sent back down. So, you know, I think we got spoiled last year a little bit, Nick. Well, I know we got spoiled. I don't think we got spoiled. I know we got spoiled when you have guys like Steer and Ellie and Matt McClain and Brandon Williamson and Andrew Abbott. I mean, think about that. I mean, all of these guys came up, and they were positive players at a big league level. It just doesn't happen. I think that's the positive thing. I'm not trying to like downplay anything that's happened of recently. This offense has been atrocious. But sometimes I do try to remind myself, hey, listen, this young group or this young core, they still exist. They're still here. Unfortunately, though, injuries have been a little bit of a regression to the opportunity for them to keep progressing. So anyway, shout out to India. We need them. We need all of them. I mean, that's the thing. I'd say at any given time, you can get away with two guys struggling, slumping, whatever term you want to use. But feels like half this lineup right now is slumping in some degree. And then on top of that, some guys are just getting put in positions where they should have never been, to where now they are kind of slumping. Like today, I'm not trying to question David Bell. I'm not saying it's his fault they lost. Nothing like, but like, is Will Benson on a good team facing a lefty on lefty matchup? Was it the eighth inning, I think it was? Or was it the seventh inning? Off the top of my head, I don't remember. Like, it felt like that was a spot where you're like, okay, if this was a deep team, you probably pinch hit there.
Yeah, and that made me more concerned about CES and Tyler Stevenson and their actual status, was that they didn't pinch hit in any of those spots late in the game. It was just wild. I mean, like, I was watching this game, and I'm like, Luke Maley's one of the guys I feel best about in this lineup. Right. How crazy is that?
Yeah, I mean, they say supposedly they're healthy, right? Supposedly. We got to trust them for their word. We'll find out tomorrow. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Tyler Stevenson's going to be in the lineup if he's healthy. CES will be in the lineup if he's healthy. If they are not in the lineup, then I think that should be a cause for concern. But I will say this about David Bell. And I know people think I'm doing a bit here. I'm not doing a bit. Listen, I think the Sunday in Oakland, if anything, proved one thing for sure. And that is David Bell really is adamant about making sure guys get days off when he tells them they're going to get a day off. Like, he does not usually try to bring those guys into the fold unless absolutely necessary. And you can agree or disagree with that in whatever form or fashion you'd like to, but he did not. And I don't know. You know, maybe he was like, you know what, let's give Will Benson a one on, you know, he's been a little bit better this year. Let's give him another opportunity lefty on lefty and see how it goes. Doesn't seem like that's the spot that I would do, put him in, but here we are. So,
yeah.
All right. Andrew Abbott, we'll jump into him. One bad inning. I mean, but that matters. You can't, I mean, that one bad inning was part of the game, a pretty big part of the game. So, you know, I don't know how you feel about it. He kind of had some a little tough luck, and then Garcia obviously squared one up off of him. But after that, he threw the ball relatively well. And you know, the crazy thing is the Reds actually shut down the Rangers. I say shut them down, I don't mean like that. But they did a really good job pitching, like this lineup, this whole series. Like, they kept themselves in games every single night. Only gave up two runs the first night. We're going into the ninth inning last night with what, no runs today. Outside of one inning, they shut them out. Like, that's they put up a lot of zeros. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, eight runs in three games against the Rangers in their home ballpark is pretty impressive. Yeah, look, it definitely is part of the story for Abbott. But I think when a guy comes out like Abbott did and had a first inning and has that cheap home run, and then just turns around and throws up zero after zero after zero. I think it shows me a little bit more about them personally. I was really impressed with the way that he competed after having that brutal inning. I don't know. I was as impressed today with Abbott as I was at just about any start this year. I don't know. I just liked the way that he competed. I liked his mindset. And, you know, look, he also was saving the bullpen. If the Reds hadn't come back, I think he was only at 85 pitches. He probably would have gone into the seventh inning in this game. Right. So, yeah, I thought Abbott, I mean, that was just a really tremendous effort from him to rebound. And he's really having a great year so far. I think he's kind of been an underlooked story on this team, just because he's been kind of the guy that's rounded out that whole rotation, at least when Montas has been healthy.
I don't think there's really any glaring weakness throughout this entire rotation. I mean that genuinely. Martinez is maybe the only guy, but I continue to go back to this. I keep thinking, like, Martinez, when I think of him in regards to the Reds, I just think of him as a reliever first. So maybe that's disingenuous of me to do that to him. So maybe I would say if Martinez is a consistent starter, I could argue that maybe that's a little bit of a weak link. And again, he could throw the ball relatively well. I'm not suggesting he's Luis Sessa or Luke Weaver or anything like that. He's not those guys. But Andrew Abbott's just part of that fold where it's like, you know what? I expect him to go out there and grind it out. He's a gritty kind of guy. And he's been that way his whole entire life for the most part. That's the good news, is that this isn't like, you know, some guy that got hot throughout the minor league system, drafted in the, you know, 10th round or something like that. The guy's been a dude his whole life. So so shout out to Andrew Abbott for giving him a chance. Gave him a chance. And the bullpen did what they always do. They gave him a chance. Like, we'll get into that in a minute. I'm not trying to pile on here. All right. Game time. Listen, if you're looking to go to Great American Ballpark, I want you to know that one thing that you're capable of doing when you go there is you're able to get all the food that's available to you. They got a lot of food there. You can get you, like we talked about before, the Sky Rosa. You can get you the ice cream in the bucket, the baseball helmet. You could go get you a brat, get you some popcorn, get you a nice soda, get you some brews. You can just enjoy a nice day out with the family. Am I going to suggest to you to go watch this offense right now at Great American Ballpark? No, because I'm not that nice. I'm not that mean of a guy. But if you're looking for tickets and you want to go down there and enjoy a nice day, the weather's warming up, then you download the Game Time app, use the code CINCY, CINCY, and get $20 off your first purchase, okay? That'll save you a little bit of money. But if you're going down there to watch great offensive play, don't go into the ballpark with that expectation. I don't know if that's what you're going to get. All right. Jumping into the bullpen here, Nick. I'm not trying to be super negative Nancy tonight, but as much as we always play the, oh man, we couldn't possibly be a whole lot worse offensively and still be whatever, above 500. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that I'm not worried about there being regression at some point. This bullpen can't be this good forever. Like, it's impossible. We all know it's impossible. We can't, again, I'm not trying to say, like, you fan however you want to fan. I'm not the fan police, okay? I'll leave that up to other people. But I don't want to hear anybody complaining to me, at least to me personally, the first night this bullpen blows up and they cost this team a game, because they've done nothing. They've done nothing short of the miraculous this entire year and keep them in the game pretty much night in, night out. And when I say in the game, like, it doesn't matter if you got a guy that goes out like Montas in the first inning, or if you need to close the door down towards the back half of the game. They got guys for all those spots, and they've done an unbelievable job. And I would just say out loud, I am relatively concerned that there's going to be some regression at some point from this bullpen. And if the offense doesn't pick it up, then it's like, you know, where do we rely on things? I guess my question to you, I'll give you the floor on this. Do you actually think at this point that this bullpen is, as they're closer to the idea of who they actually are, Or do you think this is just one of those situations where you have a pretty decent bullpen, but they're on an unbelievable run over the last, call it, three or four weeks?
So as a whole, they have a 3.75 ERA that's fourth best in the National League. I mean, I'm sure you could probably say this about a lot of bullpens, but I honestly feel like that ERA isn't even necessarily completely, like, feels true, because it feels like there's been some
right.
some blowups that have even inflated that a little bit.
Like last, sure, night. Last night.
Yeah. I think your point, though, is very fair. The Reds have converted almost all of their wins and their bullpen. When you've had an off night, it's been Saturday where Brett Suter gives up four runs when you had an 8-0 lead, as opposed to these games where you needed Suter to throw three shutout innings to win a game by one run. So, yeah, I do think that's a valid concern, is that, you know, when the offense picks it up, we hope they pick it up at some point, that the bullpen doesn't become the next hole, because it feels like, man, the Reds got a good ship, but they keep having little holes and they keep trying to plug it, and they're somehow keep trucking along. They're 15-13, but it does feel like there are some things that could catch up to them here in relatively short order. You just hope when it catches up to them, some of the other things are fixed, like Jamer Candelario decides that it's a good time to start playing baseball and things like that to kind of make up for it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we can talk about a ton of topics, and we're always going to come back to the same topic if it doesn't change, and that is CES and Candelario, because you can't play those positions. And you know what? I'm going to add in some other guys too, because I'm tired of they're on the hook as well. Martini, he's on the hook as well, okay? And or whoever the hell we decide to put at DH, okay? Can I just say that as like its own separate position? First base, third base, DH. We need more out of that position offensively. Those positions are made for offensive players more times than not in this league. And let me tell you what we're getting out of it right now. Absolutely little to nothing. Little to nothing. And you can't possibly survive a baseball season or be a competitive baseball team if your first baseman, your third baseman, and your DH are well below league average hitters. It's not rocket science. All right, CES and Stevenson, this is more about health, I'm sure. We will find out. We obviously touched on this a little bit at the top of the show. I don't have a whole lot to add other than let's just find out tomorrow. We're going to find out tomorrow. So, you know, if CES is in the lineup, Stevenson's in the lineup, then we're all good to go. If they're not, then I think that there's some cause for concern, because as we've talked about before, David Bell is very, very close to the vest when it comes to these kind of injuries. Sometimes I'm not saying he's not truthful, Nick, but I guess I'm hinting around the idea that there are times where he probably doesn't tell the whole truth and or doesn't really want to reveal that those guys aren't available to the Padres. If that, you know, like the Padres would see right through that, I would think, but maybe not. Maybe he wants it to be like a little bit of a possibility, right, that those guys can come back. Same with today. He might have wanted them to think that CES and Stevenson were capable of pinch hitting, which might make them think twice about bringing in a certain reliever versus another reliever.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before. It's been a little while since this has been a topic, but yeah, I completely support managers lying out before a game to reporters, because there's no advantage to letting your opponent know that, yeah, Christian Encarnacion Strand is not available today. Oh, that's good to know. Oh, good. I don't have to worry about bringing in a right-handed pitcher. I can let my lefty go through to this part of the lineup. So there's no advantage whatsoever. So people that get critical of, like, David Bell's lying to me, it's like, what do you want him to give the other team an advantage? I've never understood why people can't understand that logic on it. But the fact of the matter is that Stuart Fairchild's spot in the order was coming up, and Santiago Espinal was standing in the on-deck circle to pinch hit for him. So, that was a do or die spot. So that to me makes me really concerned that at least in the case of CES, he might be going on the aisle, but I don't want to speculate too much, but just putting two and two things together it doesn't seem very good.
Yeah, and if CES does go on the IL, I will say that's one of the very few spots where I could argue that there's an opportunity there to where you might get more production out of that than you would have if you would have stayed. And I'm not suggesting that I don't believe in CES. I'm just saying that if you have an injury to a middle infielder, there's not a whole lot of hope there. If you have, obviously, an injury, you'd like to think that maybe Ford comes up, you shift some guys around. You know, I don't know what you ultimately end up doing positionally, regardless of whether CES is in there or not. But the Reds, I don't want to say this like disrespectfully to CES. I think that the Reds can afford or can try to find a way to survive in advance without CES right now, at least in the short interim. Stevenson, I'm not sure about, because he's actually been a bright spot. And I like Luke Maley too, so I'm not suggesting, but Luke Maley's going to need a break. It's not like he's going to be able to catch every single day. So we shall find out if Stevenson's available tomorrow as well.
I do agree with what you were saying overall, though. I think that CES's position is the easiest to fill on a temporary basis. Like, the Reds need CES this year.
Yeah.
But they can survive a few weeks, and you might be able to catch lightning in a bottle. I know Mike Ford's obviously the most likely scenario. I don't know if a lot of people know, though, he had missed like 5 games this week. I think he was dealing with some sort of oblique injury. He did come back today and played today, but he's been hurt. There's been a lot of other guys like I know Blake Dunn's a guy that's come up, but Blake Dunn's just barely got his season started. It's not tearing the cover off the ball. You know, he's was 0 for 5 today. So, like, just because there are other options doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be better options. But I do think a guy like Mike Ford, Connor Capel was hitting well, but he's been struggling of late. They've picked up a couple other guys on waivers. I don't know. Mike Ford would be the only one that would maybe give me a little bit of excitement. All right, let's get you caught up on all the Reds minor league action from Sunday. Start off with AAA. Louisville Bats, they lost 7-4 to Nashville. Bats fall to 13-14 on the season. Blake Dunn, he had a tough day, 0-5. Mike Ford, first game back in the lineup since Thursday, dealing with some sort of injury. He went 1-4. Levon Soto was 2-4. Peyton Burdick just claimed from the Orioles. He was on base twice. Connor Capel, he was on base 3 times, 1-2, 2 walks. On the pitching side, Christian Roa, tough outing for him. Only threw 41 of his 76 pitches for strikes. He would give up 5 runs over 4 innings pitched. Walked 3, struck out 5, but gave up 2 home runs. Bullpen, though, much better story. Yasver Zuleta, he threw a scoreless inning, struck out 1. Casey Legamina, he threw a perfect inning, striking out 1. And Tony Santion, he threw a perfect inning, striking out the side. All right, down to Double A. Tough season for the Chattanooga Lookouts continues. They lost 5-1 to Birmingham. Lookouts now 5-15 on the season. Austin Hendrick was 1-3 with a walk, so Hendrick on base twice. Pretty much the lone bright spot in this one. Tyler Callahan, he was 0-4, 2 strikeouts. Tyler Callahan hitting just .157, OPS under .500. Jose Torres was 0-4. Matt Nelson 0-4, 3 strikeouts. Avon Johnson 0-3 with a walk. All right, down to High A, the Dayton Dragons, they lost 10-9 to Lansing. They actually scored 3 runs in the 9th to force extra innings, but then they fell in the 10th inning. Dragons now 9-12 on the season, but there was plenty of good offensive performers in this one. Cam Collier, his incredible season continues. 2-5, hit his 7th home run of the season. Also had a double and drove in 3. Jay Allen, man, so good to see Jay Allen off to a good start. 5-6 in this game with a double, also stole a base. Hector Rodriguez, he was 3-4. He had 2 doubles and a walk. Leo Balcazar, 3-5, a double and a walk. Only guys that didn't have a good day, Carlos Jorge, 0-6 with 3 strikeouts. Victor Acosta, 0-4, he did walk. On the pitching side, Javi Rivera, his tough start to the season continued. He gave up 7 hits and 4 runs over 3 1/3. Only walked 1 and struck out 5, but Javi Rivera with a 7.24 ERA through his first 4 starts of 2024. And then down to low A, the Daytona Tortugas, they beat St. Lucie 8-7. The Tortugas, they scored 5 runs in the 8th and 9th innings. They complete a big comeback win. Tortugas, they read some minor league best 12-9 on the season. Alfredo Duno, he was 0-3, did drive in a run, but struck out 3 times in this one. Eisbeth Pineda hit his first home run of the year, also walked in the game. Carlos Sanchez has really struggled this year. He had 2 hits, so that was good to see. Ricardo Cabrera, he was 0-4 with a walk. Ariel Almonte, 0-5. Dominic Patelli, 0-2, a walk, and he stole his 7th base of the season. All right, Reds' next series starting on Monday night against the San Diego Padres. Look to be staying up late Monday and Tuesday. Monday's game at 9:40 p.m. Nick Lodolo against Matt Waldron. More on that pitching matchup here in just a minute. Tuesday, it'll be also at 9:40. Nick Martinez for the Reds will get a chance to face his former team that decided he wasn't worth the contract extension. Padres have it listed as TBA. Not sure if they're going to go with a bullpen game or what they're going to do for that one. Wednesday, that'll be a 4:10 afternoon game. Graham Ashcraft against a very struggling Joe Musgrove. Weird to see him with an ERA of 6.94 next to his name. Padres, they come in 14-17, but they're on a season-worst 4-game losing streak. They were swept over the weekend by the Phillies at Petco Park. Padres allowed 9 home runs in that series to the Phillies. That was actually their most in a 3-game series at Petco Park since 2017. Padres just 6-11 at Petco Park this season. Reds will miss, very fortunately, Dylan Cease, who's been by far the Padres' best starting pitcher. But, look, Petco Park has not been a place that has been kind to the Reds. Reds just 1-10 in their last 11 games at Petco Park. Last season overall, though, Reds went 3-3 against the Padres. They did lose 2 of 3 in San Diego, but and I remember they had 2 really dramatic wins over the Padres at Great American Ballpark. Matt McClain hit a game-tying 2-run homer with 2 outs in the bottom of the 10th, and then Spencer Steer had a walk-off 2-run home run in the bottom of the 11th. That was the Friday night while Taylor Swift was going right across the road. And then in the Sunday game, Lucas Sims blew a save after a really brilliant pitching performance by Andrew Abbott. He actually struck out 12 batters in that game. But Tyler Stevenson came in to pinch hit for Joey Votto, and he had a 2-run go-ahead home run in the bottom of the 8th against Nick Martinez, ironically enough. Padres pitching overall has been fairly mediocre, but obviously they still have a very talented lineup with Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, Jake Cronenworth, Ha-Seong Kim. They have the young top prospect Jackson Merrill. They also have a really good catching prospect in Luis Campaso. So Padres definitely, look, this is a tough matchup for the Reds and a place they haven't played well, but hopefully you're facing a team in the Padres that haven't been playing their best baseball. All right, let's look a little more into Monday night's matchup. For the Padres, it's going to be Matt Waldron, and he comes in 1-2 with a 3.96 ERA. But the big story on Waldron, he is a knuckleball pitcher. That is his primary pitch. He does have 5 pitches overall. Knuckleball, he throws 35% of the time. Also, there's a 4-seam fastball about 20% of the time. Sweeper, sinker, and cutter as well. His knuckleball averages about 77 miles per hour, but his fastball can actually get up to about 93. So kind of a little bit different than the traditional knuckleball pitcher, but obviously not a guy that you see very often. And he kind of has a really wild story. So he didn't really use his knuckleball as anything other than a novelty in high school and in college. He made it to the major leagues coming through Nebraska, drafted in the 18th round on his traditional pitches. But he, I guess, started playing around with the knuckleball, and the Padres were like, hey, this pitch is really good. Why don't you try that more? And he's become more and more confident, and the knuckleball is actually what has got him to the big leagues, and it's actually helped him stick so far in the big leagues. And it actually, in his last start at Coors Field, Obviously, not an easy place to pitch, especially with breaking pitches. I don't really know how a knuckleball works at Coors Field, to be honest. But he threw six innings of one-run ball in that game. And he might have saw this, actually, in that start. One of Waldron's knuckleballs actually hit the home plate umpire, Bill Miller, in a very unfortunate spot. Might have saw that around on social media. Only active Red that has faced Matt Waldron is none other than the slumping Jamer Candelario. And Candelario actually hit a homer off of Waldron. I really dug deep into this one. So that was back on June 24th, 2023, one of Waldron's first starts in the big leagues. The home run came off the fastball, so Candelario wasn't smoking some knuckleball 500 feet. Candelario had two at-bats against Waldron. Waldron only threw him five pitches total in those two at-bats. Only one of those pitches was actually a knuckleball, and Candelario took it for a ball. So wouldn't say that Candelario necessarily saw a ton of Waldron, but there is one guy that has saw him. And I did kind of look through. Reds didn't face Waldron in Cactus League play. Reds and Padres, of course, both play in Arizona, but I did not see any game logs that matched up. So I don't think there's really any other Reds that have saw Waldron. It'll be interesting to see, you know, their approach against the knuckleballer. You don't see pitchers like this at all. It'll be interesting to see what the Reds' offense looks like on Monday night. All right, for the Reds, Nick Lodolo, 2-0, 2.12 shiny ERA. Lodolo has yet to allow a home run, we'll knock on wood, in 17 innings this year. His last start was his worst, I put that in air quotes, of the year. Went five innings, gave three earned runs to the Phillies. Lodolo's actually only faced the Padres once in his big league career. It was actually his second ever big league start back on April 18th, 2022 at Petco Park. He went five innings, gave up three earned runs, but did strike out eight batters. The active Padres against Lodolo are 3-13. Manny Machado is the one that's done the most damage, 2-3 with a home run. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening today to Chatterbox Reds. Appreciate all your support. If you've not yet subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you do that now. We have new podcasts the morning after every single Reds game, and with the Reds on the West Coast this week, I'm sure there'll be some nights where there'll be a lot of people that can't stay up. We'll be the one podcast you can always count on to have something posted bright and early in the morning for your morning commute, daily coffee, however you get your day started. If you could also leave us a five-star review wherever you listen to this podcast. We haven't got a five-star review in a little while, so we could use another one. Those really do help us out. They just help out the metrics and all that kind of stuff. So if you have the time to do that, we would really appreciate that. But more importantly, as always, tell a friend. Tell a Reds friend about Chatterbox Reds. Word of mouth is the best way to spread the good news of Chatterbox Reds. Monday morning, off the bench, Chatterbox Sports on YouTube, 10 a.m. to noon. Trace Fowler and the gang covering all things Cincinnati sports. Obviously, talking a lot about the NFL draft, recapping the Bengals draft. They'll be talking, I'm sure, some Reds baseball and some other stuff as well. That's 10 a.m. to noon on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. And then the Kinner and Kev Show, 3 to 5 on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. That is a simulcast from the 1410 ESPN Radio in Dayton, their afternoon radio show. We have the video feed simulcast on our YouTube channel. So yeah, plenty of content over on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe there. Hit the bell up in the top right corner. Turn on notifications. And then also notify you anytime that we go live with Chatterbox Reds. Well, hope that you have a great Monday. Hope your week gets off to a great start. We'll talk again soon. Go Reds.